Please go ahead. Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the Jazz Call on the 11th of February. And on the call, we have Rafik Damak, Cheryl Langdonor, Tijani Benjamin, Alex Kukuru, Tony Harris, Bodwan Shombe, Alan Greenberg, and for staff, we have Carla Valente and Glenda Saint-Jean, myself. We have apologies from Avery Doria, Carlos Aguirre, Eliane Preuss, Michaela Nilon, Carlton Samuels, and we are trying to dial out to Sintra Sukanan. So, may I remind you please to say your name?
Put her her number in the chat on the Adobe Connect.
Thanks so much. Could you perhaps send it to me, Tijani? That would be kind of you. May I remind you please to say your name before you speak for transcription purposes? Thank you, and over to you, Rafik.
Thank you, Glenn. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining today's call. So first, as usual, I would like to ask everyone if there is any update of his or her SY or DOI. Okay, hearing none, we can go. As we agreed to make reports of each work teams, so we may start with the first work team A and B about defining the criteria for eligibility. Please, Tijani, can you start and to report what are the progress since the last call?
Thank you, Rafiq. I don't have a lot of things to report today because I didn't work on the on my document this week. A lot of things to do at the same time, so I apologize. But I began. It's not. We have the raw data, but I began to work on it just a little bit, and I am cooperating with Sintra, who is helping. I repeat my request to any to all the members to provide any source of information that they can give. And if they want to contribute, also they are welcome. That's all.
Thank you. Just to check, is the document shared in the wiki or not? So maybe it will be helpful for everybody. I'm not sure that people...
Yes, I understand. Not yet. We shared it on the list in form of Google Docs. But we will put it on, the wiki as soon as we arrange a little bit the document because it's a mess now. It's everything together, so you cannot. If you read it sequentially, in this sequence, you will not understand a lot of things. So we will try to make a little bit. We will tidy it up, and then we will share it on the wiki page.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Maybe I will try if I can join the I will join the work team. I hope that I can help as much as I can. Any comments from the working group members? Is Sintra in the call or not?
Yeah. I'm on.
Oh, okay. So,
hi,
Sintra. Do you have any comments that you want to share with working group members?
Well, with regard to this document, I just put everything together, so it's just really for us to go through now and see which aspects of which criteria we really want to keep, which ones we want to delete. Tijani has started with the introduction and that kind of thing because I hadn't incorporated anything from the interim report. So that's the stage we're at. It's a lot of work to be done and as many eyes enhanced as possible will be appreciated.
Thank you, Sintra. Trying maybe to get more comments from people in the call that may be helpful, but
people are quiet today.
Yes, we don't have many people as usual, and they are quiet too. That makes things complicated. Maybe we can go to the now to move to the work team led by Tony about fees. Tony, do you have any update that you want to share with the working group members?
Yes, I'm still working on a draft because it's kind of a hard thing to to put in writing and propose, since we already have a rejection from the board to any concept of reducing application fees. I hope to have something for you by Monday, and I'm also very attentive to what's happening with this Belgium meeting, and particularly the document which was sent to the GAC by the U.S. government, since I think that may signal some changes in the way applications will be dealt with. I don't know if everybody has read it, but it's quite interesting. That's all I have today.
Oh, thank you, Tony, but I didn't get the point how the ESGov statement may change from our perspective. It will change. You mean that it will maybe change with the GAC meeting the whole application process, or just something special from our perspective for the JAS working group?
Well, since apparently that there is some interest in having the power of veto on any new GTLD application, unless I misread what has been put forward, I think there may be some changes in the way applications are handled or let's say approved in the initial stage. And I think that it also opens, let's say, consideration to perhaps what we are trying to achieve may eventually even get some support from that sector, from the GAC. It's just a thought. It doesn't mean to say that I can't write the draft because of that. It's just I'm taking that input into consideration. Okay?
Yeah, thank you, Tony. I think the GAC, made previous communique, they really emphasized the importance of the importance for applicants from developing countries, and then they supported our work. We can use that and to argue. I think that's a good idea. I'm not sure for other members of our working group if they agree, but I think.
Well, we need to see what happens in Brussels, I think. But I'm just keeping that in the background. It may give us some more, let's say, more scope of action in the future.
Well, there was a suggestion from Sebastian that we can maybe to have, statement something that we can share with the GAC members on the during the GAC and board members in Brussels. I know that I am quite late for that, but maybe if we can draft something that we can distribute there and to remind people about the work being done in our working group.
Well, actually, Rafiq, if I might suggest, I think they probably didn't read what we submitted originally and which was rejected. And perhaps that same document might be of interest to them at some stage in what's happening.
I'm not sure the whole document, but at least maybe an executive summary, it sounds like more. Get an executive summary, it can get attention of... Sebastian is saying that it's one of the 12 items of the board GAC meeting in Brussels. Maybe if, Sebastian, is it possible that you give us more details, something that to clarify that point?
Except I don't have too much information more than that. It's in fact, you, if you remember well, the GAC communique set up a list of items to be discussed with the board, and it's one of the items. This item, it's something like providing opportunities for all stakeholders, including those from developing countries. And there are currently there is a small group with GAC and board member, one in each or two in each side, discussing to prepare the Brussels meeting. And I think if you have something to on this item, then it's a global working group item. But if you can give something prior to Brussels or in Brussels, it could be good to have that and to distribute it in one way or another to the participants.
Okay, thank you. I think that's one of urgent tasks that we can work on before the Brussels meeting. Just about the date, I think it's at the end of this month.
It's the 28th of February and the 1st of March. And I am not the GAC, the board member in this, this team.
Okay, yeah. Thank you anyway. That it gives us more, how to say, inside perspective. Thank you. Anyway, so if there is no more, how to say, comments from Tony or about the suggestion of Tony, we may move to the next work team. Okay. It's a quite silent call today. Okay. Let me see. We have also Andrew in the... Okay, Andrew, yeah?
Yeah, no, Rafiq, I'm sorry. My apologies. I got stuck a little bit on the way here. The discussion that Tony was talking about was about the... What's going forward with the meeting between the GAC and the board, specifically about the new, specifically about the Department of Commerce statement and the unified GAC position that's being developed? Is that what I'm understanding?
Can I answer that?
Yeah,
please. I'm sorry. My apologies for being late, but I wanted to just understand where you're going with it.
I was just referring to what the U.S. government has submitted to the GAC as a U.S. government position. It's a new document, and it's in circulation. I mean, it seems to be most people have it everywhere.
And Tony, is it your sense that this is going to affect our target population substantially? And I am my apologies for missing this, but was there discussion of potentially putting forward a something about this, a position or an advice or just a comment?
Actually, no. I just mentioned that this may open up a new scenario because, well, of course, we haven't read the document. It's difficult to explain. But there will be some much stronger government intervention, let's put it that way, in the proceedings and application process. And if the governments, as they've taken an interest in certain aspects through this document, for instance, in intellectual property protection, and there's reference to community applications and geographical and so forth, and morality and public order, the question of what we are about might creep into their agenda also, as they move forward, as something which they might be sympathetic to. I'm just mentioning that since I have to address this, the in my sole working group, one man working group, I have to draft something on the question of the application fee. So we're just sort of putting some thoughts in the background there.
Okay. Well, if I could just give you the benefit of a couple of conversations that have been directed my way. There was a couple of people came to me and said, "Hey, I know you're working on this group. Are you concerned about this?" And I said, "Well, a little bit, but I'm not sure what's your concern." And the people that I spoke to were concerned that the way that that the new proposal is structured, it may make it very, very difficult for people who come from less resourced parts of the world to respond under the terms of the way that I understand it. They have a shorter period of time in which to respond. So I don't know if that's something that we care about, but I was concerned that perhaps in cases of dispute, it might affect our group, you know, our target audience a little bit. That makes sense?
Well, it's a good point. Yeah, I'm not too sure how it fits into my specific task here, but I think it's worth considering. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you, Andrew and Tony. Andrew, can you please think that we don't have any further comments about the work team led by Tony? Okay, thank you, Tony, for the report and suggestion. I think that will be really helpful. And we will wait for the document on Monday. Andrew, can you please... that we can move to now to the work team led by you. Can you please report if there was any progress in the IDN work team, or even we can after go later to the about fundraising, but now if you have any update on the IDN side.
Right. Rafiq, I'm sorry. It's been a really, really busy time. I was not able to. I'm still waiting on some comments from people. So I don't have anything really big to update you on the IDN side. On the fundraising side, you can see that Avery is putting in place some structure so that we can gather in data and information. I guess all I can say is that the things that we have been talking about before, we're getting more and more confirmation of, this need to try to make sure that we make an economic argument as much as possible to get in to work with the donors, and that this multiple donor approach is a very good way to go. And also that the impressions that we're hearing about the fact that wrapping IDNs in as a part of our fundraising, all of those things are being confirmed. So, but nothing new besides that.
Thank you. Anyway, I don't think there are any comments about the IDN because there was no so much progress. We can move to the fundraising even if we don't have every. At least if you can, you already started to, to report about that. If you maybe you can expand if there is any other progress. And we may also ask. I think that Olivier sent an email after that he asked the people in ISOC. Maybe we can, we can give an answer to that. So, Andrew, do you have any further comments about the fundraising?
Why don't I pass it to Olivier, and then we'll jump in a bit later if there's anything that's new that we wanted to talk about.
Okay. Olivier? Yeah.
Thanks very much, Rafiq. So I've gotten in touch with ISOC to find out how the funding programs were working. I've been told that the community funding only raises up to $10,000 at a time, which I gather is probably much less than what we would be looking at with regards to GIS support. But she will ask, the person I've spoken with will ask whether there is a wider program possible, but it's certainly not something in this year's financial plan. So it would have to be something to take into account in next year's financial plan, and I'm still awaiting a follow-up on that. So hopefully by next call I'll have some more. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. I also saw that you asked two questions: if this, what this collaborative fund be with ICANN and or additional bodies, and who would administer the fund. It's one of the tasks that we need to respond to. So I'm not sure that at this level we can answer that. But as you said that we will need to wait to the what the hierarchy of ISOC will think about the idea.
Rafiq?
Oh, yes, Andrew?
Can I get in queue to make a comment whenever you...
Tony, go ahead.
Okay, Tony.
Yeah. I think I've been thinking about the fundraising issue since I'm on the board of Global Knowledge Partnership now, and we are relaunching that worldwide network of social inclusion, and one of our immediate aims is to establish a fundraising foundation in the United States, because that makes it easy for a lot of donor organizations and foundations from large companies, corporate social responsibility programs, to be able to contribute. The question is, who are they going to give the money to? If they give it to ICANN, that might be a little complicated, because ICANN is really on the evaluator's side of the equation and not on the applicant's side. And administratively, I don't know if that might be a little complicated. It sounds like it. And I think traditionally donor organizations, in my limited experience of foundations, they don't sort of give blanket sums of money to be used by multiple applicants. It's usually a one-on-one negotiation. So we would need one centralized entity representing the program to deal with all these organizations. From what we seem to have been able to find out in the United States, you can set up this type of fundraising foundation for as little as $5,000. But as I say, I'm very much in the initial stage on this to speak with a lot of propriety about it. That's my comment.
Thank you, Tony. Sounds complicated, but at least even in the case, we may that redirect the applicants to those foundations, so at least to help them to get funds from them. So it's not sure. Yeah.
Rafiq?
So it's, yeah.
Yeah, I might. Well, getting your point, I might add something else. Is the complication that if they're going to give money for this purpose, normally when a donor gives money, the money is supposed to be applied successfully. And the thing is, what happens if the application is rejected, and the donor has given out the money to the specific applicant? That's something else that has to be thought about. So if you have a foundation in between the applicants and the donor organizations, it wouldn't be so complicated, because that money would go back into the pool and be available for somebody else to use. So I think really there has to be a sort of an intermediary entity between the money that is coming from donors and the actual applicants. That's just a thought, of course.
Thank you, Tony. If I remember well, in our milestone report, one of the recommendations was that is this charging for the fees payment. So for each for each level that the applicant will pay a part, not to pay the whole fees at the beginning. So maybe to to decrease the risk of in the case of no success, but not sure that it will respond for that problem. Andrew, please go ahead.
Yes, Rafiq, I wasn't quite sure I got that last bit, except that I think I understood that you were talking about the idea that every applicant will be responsible for raising at least 50% of the funds that they need, which I think we all agreed was a good idea so that we didn't end up with people who were unviable from the start. I was actually going to respond to two things. One of the things that Olivia said and one of the things that Tony said. The thing that Olivia was questioning was around who would run this and whether ICANN would run it. Given that ICANN has a kind of financial interest in this whole thing, I think it probably is preferable from our perspective. And given that ICANN has its own structures and everything, it strikes me that it might be preferable to have it outside. It might be easier to raise money as well, in part because
Andrew, you are still on the call?
Hello. We've lost.
I think we lost Andrew. Okay. So we may wait a little bit that he back to the call, but any comments in the meantime that we are waiting for? Okay.
Sorry.
Olivia, please go ahead. Oh, Andrew?
Yes, sir.
Andrew is back.
My apologies. Andrew. I have no idea why the line dropped, but
You were saying that you thought it was preferable to have this handled outside of ICANN. That was the last thing I heard.
Yeah, I think that there may be some, both in terms of being able to get more fundraising, in terms of the perception that ICANN is a well-financed organization, and so why would they need additional resources? But also in terms of the ability to do transparency, and frankly, the fact that ICANN, I think, if I understand it correctly, has a little bit of a horse in the race financially. For all of those reasons, it may be preferable. But I agree, Tony, that there needs to be some sort of an apex organization, such that, a clearinghouse where you can go and get information along the lines of what Elaine was talking about, as well as the funding. My understanding of where we are is actually that there's a two-phase to your question about whether or not people will get the money. What will happen if applications are denied. My understanding is there's actually two phases of this work, right? One phase is getting people ready to make an application, and then the other phase would be, if they make an application and it is successful, getting them up and running. And so perhaps that's a useful distinction for us to have. The early stage would be to help people make an application, and then the second stage, and in that stage it's effectively, there's no guarantee, right? And then in the second stage is where you might run into the problem that you discussed, Tony. That make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I might add that if what is being discussed now between the GAC and the ICANN board on the subject of new TLDs, if the GAC has its intention fulfilled, and they do get a power of veto on any new TLD, perhaps in that second stage where the applicant has already been prepared and goes to present his application, we would probably have to think about them asking governments if they're okay with it before he takes a plunge and puts the money up.
I think the key thing is that we have a relatively clear protocol so that whoever on the fundraising on the donor side, whoever's giving money knows what they're contributing to.
That's fair enough. Yeah.
So if I understand correctly, so maybe to review the application before giving any kind of money to the applicant before he go to into the whole process of new GTLD application.
I'm sorry. Did you ask me that, Tony? Or
I'm just trying to understand what Andrew and you.
No. I was just reflecting on a possibility that. Don't worry about it, which might come up where you have to have government approval for any and every application, but that hasn't happened yet. It seems to be coming in the wings.
Thank you. And also on the other side about that ICANN that would manage the funds, I think when we talk it... in the first stage of our working in the working group, that one of the recommendation it was just to talk about the foundation, and then that the ICANN shouldn't be in the ICANN shouldn't be on the charge or to manage or to handle the funds. So we may avoid any problem that ICANN to be in the both. As evaluator and also managing the funds for the needy applicants. Olivier, you are in the queue. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Rafiq. This question of who will control the fund is something which I think is going to be quite fundamental for anyone bringing funds in. There is a precedent which is actually, I would say, rather different because of the source of the funding. But that's what Nominate has done by taking some of the funds that were brought in through the domain name services under .uk and putting it into a separate or semi-separate organization that is the Nominate Fund, and that fund has then been used for projects and to support the community. So what they have is some kind of Chinese wall between the two sides, between Nominate and the Nominate Foundation, and in fact, they might be entirely separate. I'm not exactly sure of how the system is arranged. And I wonder whether there should be an ICANN Foundation, but you know, maybe that goes... I'm just speaking out loud. Maybe that goes further than what ICANN is ready to do. And of course, you know, setting an organization would need employees, would need a budget, would need all sorts of things. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. We have in the queue Alex and then Anna. Alex, please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. Alex speaking. The when we have ICANN also managing the funds, and it's also going to judge, like you said, who is going to whose application will pass through, that will definitely be a conflict. Managing the same donations, that it will also judge on the applications. The second point is that within the people that we are targeting to be donors or people who are going to donate to this project, there is perception that under the entire new GTLD program, the total amount of money ICANN will make, and I'm not saying rightfully or wrongly, is that it's going to be a lot of money, that a lot of income to ICANN by the projections that are being made. This leads to the third point, that some donors are uncomfortable. In fact, some may have stated that actually they don't want to give money to ICANN, but if it's another organization, they are willing to allocate their funds, which are meant to help people, but they would not want to be seen to be giving to the institution that is going to collect so much money from the entire program. So that's something we have to be alive to. And then finally, an independent foundation, to me, still remains the way to go. And whether it's going to be independent in terms of a fresh outfit, or we look out to institutions where we can house ourselves, you know, we look out like the suggestion we gave last time, so that we cut down on possible costs. To me, that remains one of the still possible and probably the most cost-effective, because I also tend to feel like, in as much as we may want to have it under World Bank, it will also be extremely expensive to have this kind of a thing managed by World Bank, kind of an entity, because of their usual very high staff costs and overheads. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alex. Anna, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on what Olivier said regarding the Nominet example. We of course have talked about foundations for use of the any windfall profits from auctions and things like that. But in terms of using revenue from regular GTLDs, you know, at a 1% tax or whatever, that would go into a separate fund to help this kind of thing. My recollection is that the GNSO recommendations that were accepted by the board, the policy recommendations, included one that's saying regular GTLD users should not cross-subsidize the new product, the new GTLDs. So I believe that, at least at this stage, is not something that's likely to be within the books. Obviously, it's something ICANN could do in the future should they choose to, but there was a very specific statement not to do that at this point around.
Alan,
go ahead.
You can continue, please. Go ahead.
No, I was finished.
Thank you. I think you was talking about the auctions, that how to manage the auction that we can have after the first round of the new GTLD GTLD process. I think for the foundation, it's more, we talked about the foundation. I think it was the idea of the $10 million that suggested by Eric. And then it's actually just one of the possible income or sources for this foundation. But
No, I understand that. I was just pointing out that the concept that Olivier pointed out of using essentially a tax on regular revenue to put aside, as Nominet has done, is something we probably could not do at this point because there was an explicit recommendation not to do that.
Yeah, from GNSO Council, yeah, it was one of the, I remember it was one of the reasons that there was a strong opposition from the many stakeholders groups in the GNSO Council about that. About the foundation itself as a concept, or also using the auctions for that.
Well, the issue of a foundation wasn't mentioned there. It was just that the this program should be self-funding and shouldn't rely on revenue from existing domains to cross-subsidize the new domains.
Yeah. Thank you. So we have Olivier, Andrew, and Alex. Please, Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. I think I might have been misunderstood. I never suggested that there would be cross GTLD subsidies. I'm well aware that this was rejected outright, and it's actually specifically for this that I put a question mark over the Nominet system, because the Nominet system with the two organizations effectively bring cash from one side of the organization to the other side of the organization,
yeah.
Whilst in the ICANN case, I just put a question mark over why would there be an ICANN foundation if ICANN is not going to put any money into it? Does it need to be an ICANN foundation? Should it be something that is separate from ICANN? That's the question I ask from everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. If there is someone who want to reply to answer,
yeah, I was going to reply to that.
Please, Alan, go ahead. Sorry, Andrew. So it will be Alan.
We're by talking about whether it's ICANN Foundation is separate from ICANN. Something called an ICANN Foundation would have to be separate from ICANN in terms of control and management of it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be able to be classed as an independent foundation. You know, clearly there's a linkage because the name is there and an intent is there. But it's not ICANN in terms of legalities. It would have to be a separate entity, just like, you know, the Bill Gates Foundation is not Microsoft, or not even Bill Gates. Okay, thank you.
Still on the same, if I could jump in so that the continuity continues. Rafiq, Alexia?
Yes, if you just, yeah, if you will to want to replay, yeah, so, because we have Andrew, but yeah.
Sorry, Andrew. Thank you. This is a follow-up to what Olivier and Alan have just said. Okay, even with the topping of the cross-subsidy, which was quite explicit in the resolution, we recall earlier one of the potential donors been identified last year, and we mentioned about them severally during several calls who are CCTLDs, and we mentioned a good number of them. Now, with our resolution, then it's obviously they cannot directly put money into that. I just have a question, which maybe Alan and others could help me understand. Does that GNSO resolution top donations from CCTLDs coming into a foundation which we may set up, because then they would be just donating to a foundation? I just want to understand how that may play out. Thank you.
Alex, you mean CCTLD?
CCTLDs, yeah, various, like .uk, like Nominate, like Kenic, like, you know, .za, all over the...
As far as I know, not all CCTLD operators are giving any kind of fees. It's more voluntary fees that they give to the ICANN, so I'm not sure that we can use such fees for the foundation.
Right. If I can jump in, Rafiq, this is actually a point of conversation when we were in Nairobi, if you remember. And one of the things that the CCNSO they had Rod mentioned this, and if I remember, Chris Despain mentioned this as well, that there were a very small number of CCTLDs that were actually contributing money. There were a very small number of CCTLDs that had formalized relationships with ICANN. And so I sense that there's not a lot of money there. If I had to guess, I would guess that there are two big pots of money, right? One is on the development side, whether that's governments or that's foundations or donors along the lines of the international donors, and then the other one are corporates, right? And whatever we want to do, I mean, I personally think that if ICANN is, all money is fungible on some level, and we may not, ICANN may not want to set up a quid pro quo that suggests that that auction proceeds go, or that somehow or another the new GTLD process is going to subsidize this activity. But in point of fact, money comes into ICANN. More money, in theory, a fair amount of money, and it would seem a little crazy that there would be none of it available to support needy applicants. But if we leave that off to one side and say, and whether or not there should be an ICANN contribution, it still strikes. I still sense that that this group believes that any financial arm, any foundation, whatever it is that we're talking about, shouldn't be housed within ICANN. And one thing that we haven't talked a lot about is how can we incentivize corporate foundations that might be interested in this, what's in it for them, and how can we potentially make a good pitch to them? Because I think that is a group that in the short term might have the ability to come forward with some cash. I'd be interested in hearing what people think.
Any comments? Olivier, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq, and I was actually going to type it in the chat. It's a very interesting point, actually, that's been raised. Asking for a voluntary contribution from registrants when they register a domain, in the same manner as when you purchase an airline ticket, you're asked whether you want to make your flight carbon neutral, and you can give a few more cents towards making your trip carbon neutral. Would this something be that flies? because that voluntary contribution would be something that then gets put into the fund, even if it's a few cents here and there. When you look at the number of domain names worldwide, that could help. Just a thought. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. It will be more the registrant who will do that, not the registrar, no?
I said registrant. Registrant, sorry. Yeah. Maybe the phone line is wrong. Registrant, the person that registers his name. Thank you.
Yeah, we many forget about the registrant of the whole ecosystem of domain names. Okay, any comments? Any suggestion?
I have a question about that, I guess. Which is that I thought we had actually discussed this at some point in time and had moved away from it. The mechanics of it are a little tricky because if we decide to do this, then we have to get large numbers of people to agree to do it simultaneously. And I think it's a great idea. I think it's probably not. Part of this is about which things do we do first, right? And I think in the initial phase, we still need some sort of a seed grant to get this program up and running in order to sensitize the world's population that this is something that they want to do might take us a few years. But I don't think it's a bad idea. I'm still wondering where that first $1 million is going to come from.
Olivier, your hand is still raised, or you want to answer?
I'll put my hand down. It remained from before. Thank you.
But if you want to comment, you can. Okay. You want to comment? Okay. Any further comments or?
Well, if I may just say, Rafiq, this is a path. The voluntary path is going to be a long path, as Alan, I think, thinks as well. And maybe we should sort of move on. I don't know if there's other things in the agenda, but the subject here is now starting to go a bit in circles.
Thank you, Olivier. So we still have 9 minutes in our call. The problem that for the work team DEF, led by Ellen, and she's not here, and I don't think that there is any members of this work team present here, so I'm not sure what kind. So that we will have any report. Yes, Alan, yeah, we could stop early.
Good idea.
Yeah, for me it would be good because it's almost midnight here, but anyway. So if there is no further comments, we will adjourn this call for today.
Thank you, Rafiq. Bye. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Rafiq.
Thank you, Olivier.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tabak, thank you.